Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, good morning. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call Adam or Brian at 515-491-6348, and they'll send you a couple of guys. Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. We're glad that you can join us. Brian, is you got a long trip ahead of you, buddy.
I do.
Going to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Why in the world did you decide I'm going to drive to Rhode Island?
Well, my kids live out there, or at least a couple of them do, and my grandkids.
But still drive?
Well, I made this wild promise a few months ago that I'd take a lawnmower and a rocking chair out to my daughter. It sounded like a good idea at the time.
You're a good dad. So you're going to drive out there. When are you driving out? You and I talked before we went on air. 20 hours-ish?
I think it's somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't remember now how many miles.
How long are you going to actually be there?
I will be there until next Tuesday or Wednesday, and then I'll head back.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, hey, it's going
to
be good.
You get to see a lot of Americana anyway.
Yeah. Well, so. And I've got some business to do in New England while I'm out there, too. So
okay.
We're killing a couple of birds with one stone here.
Cool.
I'm actually looking forward to it. It's just the drive is ugly.
Some quality time with your wife as you're driving?
No, she's flying out. She is a wise woman.
Oh, man. I thought at least you guys would be able to take turns driving.
No.
Oh, that's an interesting twist.
No.
She just didn't want to be 20 hours in the car with you?
Well, it really that too. No, I think a lot of it boiled down to she just didn't have as much vacation left since we went to Great Britain last spring. So anyway, we're going to meet her on Thursday, and she'll fly back then the following Tuesday, and I'll drive.
Lots of coffee.
No, that's going to be all right. I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to see my grandkids. I'm going to see some friends out there. I'm going to see my daughter and my son-in-law.
Great.
It'll be cool.
Awesome. And I'm going to Indiana for Labor Day weekend, which doesn't sound nearly as exciting. Yeah. Yeah, Valparaiso. In the armpit of America, northwest Indiana. Clearly, because of Lake Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Look at a map. It makes sense. That, and there's a bunch of steel mills and smokestacks and horrible air quality.
That's still a little bit of a drive there.
7 hours. Not too bad. Not too bad. And I've got teenage drivers, so we can,
you can
mix
over
it
there.
Up. And
if you're anything like me, you're not going to be able to sleep or rest while the teenagers are driving.
No, but
that's not going to happen.
But I can mess around on my iPad and stuff, so that's nice.
Well, we'll keep you in our prayers.
Appreciate that.
Especially Morgan is driving.
Yeah, it's always fun because, I'm sitting because I'm relegated to the back seat because Cheryl will not sit in the back seat. So I always feel like I have zero control,
Yeah.
I do a lot of praying. My prayer life is enhanced when my kids drive. So thank you, God, for that. We have a guest on the line with us, Kara Hadley, and she's just sitting there listening to all this banter back and forth. Kara is a homeschooling mom up in Ankeny, but she wasn't always a homeschooling mom. They recently made a decision to homeschool based on some things that were happening in her school district. Welcome, Kara.
Hello.
So what is going – I thought, Ankeny Community Schools, Ankeny's a great place to live. It's growing. Surely they got great school district and – great education for your kids, right?
Well, kind of. Our journey with education has been kind of crazy. We started out in Des Moines School District, and we were looking for a better school district for my son because we saw some inconsistencies and some places where the Des Moines School District was just insufficient with his education. So we thought, we thought that Ankeny was a good school district. So we sold our house and we moved up here just for the schools. And to some extent, it was good, but in other respects, it just wasn't.
What are some things that you noticed?
With my oldest son, he was behind because the Des Moines School District was behind.
Mm-hmm.
So when we moved up to Ankeny, he had troubles with reading, and we had to fight pretty hard to get him some assistance in the district. And when we finally did, he was stuck in classes that, you know, they'd have to sit and read all day, but they weren't having like intense one-on-one reading. So they were, it was almost seemed to me like they were on their own and they just weren't given the right teaching to improve. So he kind of stagnated. And it, you know, he currently is a freshman and he is in the school district now. It's my youngest that I homeschool full time. So we kind of do both.
Mm-hmm.
Last December, well, and I guess I should back up a little bit. Last fall, the district came out with this thing called standards-based grading, which, you know, a lot of parents were having confusion with. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids are coming home saying, I don't have to do my homework anymore. It doesn't count. Well, the only thing that counts now is their test scores. And when it's explained to you, it sounds good because it sounds like college. But if you have a child that has any deficiencies in their education, mm-hmm. it hurts. And if they have test anxiety and they blank out during their test, there's no way that they can catch up because there's no like supporting. So
there's nothing else that's given credit?
No. I mean, they'll have some projects, like if they have a big, it's kind of like how college grades a little bit, because you have your exams and you mm-hmm. have like some big projects, but a lot of your homework is deemed practice and your practice doesn't count towards your final grade.
Sure. Well, most of the homework I had in college was really reading, and everything else then was papers
and tests. Yeah, but we had papers and we had...
Yeah. Papers I don't see as your... It's not your typical... It is considerably... It's not like you're going through, oh, I'm going to answer these questions here in this textbook and I'm going to turn that in. And that's your typical homework assignment
But then there was also some sort of credit given for class participation. I mean,
true.
There was an awful lot of ways to get...
I'm glad I didn't get graded on class participation in college. Especially my psychology class at Drake. I don't think she hardly ever saw me. So
I had a class or two like that, too.
With standards-based grading, just kind of go back to that a little bit. The original intent sounds kind of good because it's like, you know, if we want to make sure we're focused on making sure we're not advancing kids who haven't learned these particular if they haven't mastered, I think that's the language they use, mastered a particular standard, you know, we'll keep working on that until they master it. That's kind of how they say it's going to go. And on the surface, it sounds kind of good, but that's not what really happens in practice.
Not really, because the kids kind of look at it like, this isn't graded, so I'm not going to do it. So they mm-hmm. don't do the practice. And you can retake the test as many times as you want. And, I mean, some cases, teachers are starting to change their policies a little bit. So you have, like, so many days and you can take the test. But last year, it was you can retake the test as many times as you want until you pass. So even a lot of your high-achieving students weren't studying. And I even heard this from my own son, who unfortunately at that time was not a high-achieving student. He would say, I don't have to take it because I can just retake the test until I pass.
Wow, yeah.
So he didn't need to study for the test because he always had a chance to retake it.
So why did I ever need that back in the day?
No doubt. Yeah, I think we can file this under unintended consequences of a particular program. Again, sounds good in practice, in theory. In practice, not so great. That's a trend I've heard about, not only in Ankeny, but with Waukee and Des Moines looking at going this direction, and I don't know how many other school districts in Iowa. So you as a result of seeing, you know, what you saw was going on in your son's classroom, you decided, I'm going to take my concerns to the school board. And obviously you were well received, right?
No. By the school board?
Yeah.
They were more understanding, but by the teachers, not so much.
Okay. What was kind of some of the feedback you were hearing?
The school board was concerned. I mean, you know, when you have a kid that has test anxiety and they look at their test and go blank, this method of grading is not going to help them at all whatsoever. And it's kind of discriminating against those students that have that anxiety. The administration and the teachers, they all want to forge ahead. And mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of parents were called unethical for even stepping in. A big group of teachers came to the school board one night, and thank goodness I wasn't there because I'm probably would have been extremely upset.
I'm trying to figure out what ethics you're violating.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's my child, and I see a problem with this, and I want to, you know, figure out what's going on and see if there can be a resolution. But in this district, it seems to me that they don't respect parents that much.
Yeah, it's, well, I don't think that's unusual for, you know, a particular school district. We, I've seen that in other school districts as well, which is unfortunate because we as parents should be partners with teachers. Certainly, I try to communicate to teachers as often as I can, and I, you know, write a lot and talk a lot about education policy. My intent is never to bash teachers, even though there are obviously some bad ones out there. Because I've been there, done that. Even though it wasn't necessarily in a public school, I taught in a Christian school, and I know it's a hard job. But at the end of the day, you know, we as parents are ultimately who are responsible for our kids' education. God's not going to look at that teacher and say, you know, what did you do with Kara's son? No, he's going to look at you, and he's, for my kids, he's going to look at me, and we're the ones going to be held accountable.
But that's one of the fundamental issues here.
Yeah, and
they do not look at it that way at all.
No, because your child belongs to the state, and they're the community. It takes a village, Brian.
And what you end up with is, intentional or not, there's an elitism there. There's a matter of purview, because they think theirs is the one that has priority, not mom and dad. And then you end up with this elitism because they're the professionals. And what are you? I mean,
exactly. That's exactly what it was. They're the professionals. We should let them teach and let them do what they think is best for our children.
Okay. And And it's like one hand, yes, we don't want to, you know, tie your hands behind your back.
Exactly.
But on the other hand, these are our kids, and we need to be able to give feedback. And we know our kids, and we love our kids far better, far more than any teacher ever would. So basically, teachers would be wise to, obviously, yes, are there problem parents? Absolutely, there are problem parents. But they need to listen to parents, especially the ones who want to be involved, because frankly, one of the top, you know, indicators of whether a child's going to succeed educationally or not is the involvement of the parents. And so you'd think they would welcome that.
Yeah. And you know, this last year we got really involved with our kids' education.
And they're like, please, no more.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you made
gotta stop that.
You made the decision to homeschool.
Yes.
It was kind of made for you?
Kind of, because what they're teaching, I have two children. I have a 14-year-old who was in eighth grade last year, and then I have a 9-year-old who was in third grade last year. And I started looking into the curriculum the district was teaching. And especially when I got this notice from the grade school that, hey, we switched to a different science curriculum. So I started researching it. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at it, I was shocked. Dismayed, thinking, how can this happen in this area? And my son was having problems anyway. My youngest son is a gifted learner, and he was fighting me every day. He didn't want to go to school. He hated it. Well, the thing is, with everything that's going on in the district, when you have a gifted learner, they're not getting the higher level teaching that they need. I mean, he was in what's considered their highest teaching, like differentiation levels, but he was bored. Half the time he would say to his teacher, can I just work by myself? So, you know, I looked at that curriculum and I started having these feelings that I need to homeschool this kid, but I didn't think my husband would be for it. In December, I had a gut feeling that there was something wrong with Blake's schooling and his grades, because he would sit there and look at me and hold his head and be like, I just don't understand any of this. But then I would look at his grades and he's getting an A in English and like an A, like I think it was a B in math. So I'm like, okay, you've got good grades, but you're sitting here at home
but you don't
holding
understand.
Your head in your hands, you know, and you have no idea what's going on with school.
Definitely disconnect there.
Yeah, I mean, total disconnect. So I took him to a place to get him tested. And when we got his test results back, he had, in English, he had a fifth grade reading level. Oh, but he was in eighth grade. And in math, it was a fourth grade mathematics level. But he was in eighth grade. So, you know, there is no way that a child that is that deficient in those skills can be doing that well in class. I mean, your grades really, no matter, I mean, and he had IEPs and all of that, but you would think that there would be some way that they could communicate, okay, he's missing on these foundational skills somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen. So when we went back for that meeting and found that information out, she said, you know, I recommend you homeschool him. And I'm thinking in my mind, yes, because this means that I can get the other kid out too. So what we did, we actually dual enrolled him last semester, starting January 1st. And by March, he was on grade level.
Great. Homeschooling works. Our kids have always, you know, we've homeschooled from the very beginning, and our kids have always excelled with math, not as much, but with English, definitely their reading level's always been way above grade level. So good for you. I'm glad.
With that, Blake, he went and did intensive tutoring that whole time, and he's done it all summer long. And now that we put him back in public school for his high school career, he's like, Mom, this work is easy now.
Good, good.
Where, you know, he wasted from fifth grade, essentially, is when we were able to get him help, to eighth grade. That time was wasted in school.
Okay, well, I'm glad that worked out, and we are almost out of time this segment. Kara, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks,
and
Kara,
sharing your story. Just want to encourage you to check out a resource, iowarestored.com. It's a new website. It used to be Iowans for Local Control. Learn more about standards-based grading, Common Core, Iowa Core, different educational policy issues within the state. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st. And enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa. And I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website, conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint, without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 8 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stouffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by M&A Movement and Hauling Providence, Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're launching into our time where news that hopefully you can use. We're going to have a couple segments of this. There's a lot going on that we wanted to talk about. We just wanted to update everybody on the ongoing saga with Texas Governor Rick Perry. Just to recap, we had the Travis County county attorney or district attorney who was caught drunk driving and was just generally obnoxious after being arrested. Governor Perry said, "Hey, you need to resign," because she actually heads up that office's public integrity division, which
Public integrity.
Yeah, exactly. Which is something that doesn't really mean a whole lot for a liberal. I understand that, but he's saying, you know, if you're caught being obnoxious to cops and you are, you know, drunk driving, and I mean, we're not just talking a little bit over the limit. She was like three times the legal limit. So she was seriously serious inebriation, had a empty vodka bottle in her car.
Slobbering drunk.
And was threatening police, was saying, you know, she was going to get them fired. You know, things, I mean, just generally obnoxious. Kicking the cell door. I mean, Rick Pack had released an interesting video just highlighting her video clips from when she was being booked. And I mean, it's just obnoxious.
Priceless.
It's just, yeah, it definitely priceless. Anyway, then the Travis County District Attorney's Office got a grand jury to indict Governor Perry on two counts of inappropriate, I can't remember the actual charge's name.
Coercion.
Coercion, basically. Yeah. Inappropriate use of public office, which would, you know, if
two
convicted,
felonies.
If convicted, he could serve up to 109, you know, years in jail. He wouldn't, but he could. So you have that going on, and last week he submitted to, you know, he went in and he was booked, and he took a mugshot like a boss, and it was he's just getting a lot of political traction as a result of this. And anyway, his legal team just filed a motion to dismiss, which I think if the court was sane, they would accept. Anyway, I just want to read some of a statement that was sent out by Rick Perry's campaign operation, Texans for Perry. It says, thus, for reasons of constitutional magnitude, including the separation of powers doctrine fundamental to our democratic system of government, Government Perry should have the same opportunity for relief through habeas corpus in this case if the provisions are merely void as applied as he would have if they were facially unconstitutional. This is obviously legal speak. Subjecting any sitting governor to a criminal prosecution and injecting the judiciary into a political dispute would be an unprecedented assault on this cherished separation of powers. It would impose an intolerable and incalculable chilling effect on the free exercise of legitimate constitutional powers for future governors. Oh, I missed a part. The reason why they indicted him was because he vetoed funding for them as a result of her not resigning. A governor can do that. He doesn't have to have any. He can say, I just don't like that office very much. Veto. Unless they can prove that he was being bribed, and then he vetoed based on receiving money, then I could say they have a case. Or just generally wanting to close down. But the office. But even liberals are saying this is a shady indictment. So hopefully the court will agree with Governor Perry's legal team and shut this case down.
Well, what I think is going to be interesting, though, I mean, not at all predicting this is going to happen, but wouldn't it be hilarious if Perry ends up winning the White House and years later historians say this is the only candidate in the United States history that was propelled into the White House
through an indictment
through two felony indictments? Would that be classic?
That would be classic, and he's in a position to do just that, because I mean he has people rallying around him. Usually an indictment's a career killer, but in this case, who knows. Moving on to our own state of affairs, our beloved Bruce Braley. Oh, he's the gift that keeps on giving. I just want to personally thank Congressman Bruce Braley for making this Iowa U.S. Senate race actually a winnable one for Republicans. Because I have to admit, you know, going into this, looking at the slate of candidates we initially had, some of our quote-unquote A-listers decided, you know, they took a pass. Conventional wisdom said this was a seat for Democrats to lose, basically. I mean, it was
right.
It was pretty much a given because Bruce Braley was the anointed one. And Tom Harkin laid his hand upon Bruce Braley and said,
"Stop!
Go, my child, go and win the Senate seat. And it's yours." And I found somebody who is more liberal than Thee to carry on Anyway, you would have thought, okay, this is because we're a politically schizophrenic state. People seem to vote for Tom Harkin by the same margin as they voted for Grassley. To this day, I still don't understand it.
Makes no sense.
We love having our votes cancel out, evidently. But, you know, so conventionally speaking, even though, yes, 24 midterm elections usually do not favor the party in control of the White House, it seemed as though he was going to roll right on it in it. But then he spoke.
No, this was the Democrats' seat to lose.
Yeah, yeah,
it was. But then everybody viewed it that way.
But then Bruce Braley opens his mouth, and we have to say thank you. Thank you, Congressman. Anyway, we have basically Bruce Braley and the Democrats' Waterloo was written. You found this article. I saw it. I didn't get a chance to read it until this morning. But you said, they're facing a Waterloo situation.
Yeah, it's basically the national media is looking at this and saying, whoa, what happened?
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're saying this was a seat nobody thought was even in play. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, look what's going on. And they do stand a good chance of losing the seat because, as you say, the missteps of Bruce Braley. And so that's all of a sudden made this a very, very important race. And you see mm-hmm. an awful lot of outside money being dumped in it now.
Yeah.
You see a lot of ads against Joni Ernst trying to attach her to the Koch brothers and Sarah Palin and the usual list of suspects.
I have to take umbrage with the title of the post because the author here is making a huge assumption that your average liberal, if they read this, would understand history. So...
well, he probably thinks it means Waterloo, Iowa.
Yeah. No, this is not talking about Waterloo, Iowa. This is talking about Napoleon and his battle with the British in the Battle of Waterloo, in which he lost and then was exiled. So you have to have a grasp of world history to understand this title, what they mean. This could end up being, this could hinge on the Democrats, whether they retain control of the Senate or whether they lose the Senate. Bruce Braley put us Republicans in, and us, yes, I admit I'm a registered Republican, so this would be good for my party. I again want to thank Congressman Bruce Braley for opening up his mouth and bashing farmers and suing his neighbor for, you know, having chickens
saying how he spent his entire career fighting against tort reform.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, we love it.
Keep it up, please. We appreciate it. Keep missing those VA, you know, committee hearings, too. That's great, too. Awesome. Thank you. Keep it up. Anything else stupid you could say, please make sure there's a video camera around. We love it. We love it. We want to thank you. And I, seriously, Democrats will be in bad shape if they lose this Senate seat. Because even though the article seems to think... Mark Pryor's in good shape. You don't know that for certain. Arkansas could flip. Alaska could certainly flip because President Obama is wildly unpopular. And if they successfully connect Mark Begich to the Democratic senator, the incumbent up in Alaska, to President Obama, I think he's toast.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about these midterm elections, too, is not just the unpopularity of our beloved president, although that's certainly a huge factor. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's also about turnout.
Exactly.
So you're going to have an awful lot of Republicans and I'll say a broader word, conservatives, that are going to be really anxious to get out there and vote.
Yeah.
And, and the old expression, you know, crawl over broken glass to get to the polls, that's not going to happen for the left. I just don't see it.
I don't see it either. So they're predicting the Hills think, you know, they're thinking Montana, West Virginia, and South Dakota. Definitely South Dakota is going to flip. There's no doubt about it. Mike Rounds is running. He's the former governor in South Dakota. They've got a very strong candidate. I don't agree with him on some issues, but he's in a good place. That seat's going to turn red. Montana, I'd be shocked. West Virginia has been trending red for, you know, number of years now. It used to be a blue state. It's not a consistent state for Democrats anymore.
Now, what do you think about Scott Brown in New Hampshire? I was hearing about that just recently.
Scott Brown is, Yeah, he's not my favorite guy.
I realize that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the argument could be made that we're not going to be able to tell the difference in many respects.
I don't
think.
Yeah, Scott Brown is a, well, he might be the best Republican that could be. He was certainly the best Republican that could be elected in Massachusetts.
Yep.
I don't think you're going to find, you're not going to be able to elect a real conservative up in Massachusetts. Sorry, Massachusetts. You got a lot of work to do if you want to. Republicans up there, if you want to turn your state red and be more conservative.
But now he is in New Hampshire.
Now he's in New Hampshire, yeah. And yeah, same deal. Even though New Hampshire's, they're an interesting state. I mean, they tend to be, I guess, lean more independent, more kind of libertarian-ish. Live free or die, man. You know, I love the fact you don't have state tax, you know, state income tax. That's awesome. So, but then I see Kelly Ayotte, and she's been kind of a disappointment. I'm not sure I pronounced her last name right. And we're not going to get to our next thing. We're going to have to bump that to the third segment because we're rambling on about this. But I don't think he's going to make that huge of a difference, you know, honestly.
But there might be some key votes in which having that red seat is gonna mean a lot.
Certainly. And will he end up being better than the current, you know, the Democrat currently? Yeah, certainly. Well, then we also, Louisiana is in play. Arkansas is in play. North Carolina is in play with Kay Hagan. We have, and they've been going, Republicans have been going hard and heavy after these seats. But Iowa was not on their radar until the gaffe that Bruce Braley made. And again, I can't thank him enough, so I want to take time again. Thank you, Congressman Braley. I hope you listen to this. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
That's going to spice up the race, too, now that there's basically a great deal of nationwide significance to it.
Yes, definitely. And because Iowa needs more national political attention because we don't get enough. So
right,
we're already talking 2016, and we're having people come through. It's been great. I think
this is fun.
Yeah, it
and
is
for
fun.
Guys like us. This is awesome.
Great.
Where would you want to be?
I know. I couldn't imagine not. I mean, not living in Iowa and not tripping over presidential candidates. I guess New Hampshire or South Carolina would probably be equivalent to this, and. So I'd have to, if I have moved out of Iowa, it would have to be to New Hampshire or South Carolina, or else I would not get my political fix.
I would say this, though. We're busy tripping over all these presidential candidates. Unfortunately, several of them don't seem to answer their email.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yes, yes.
But that's a whole other story.
Yes. A few invitees to the Caffeinate Thoughts briefing. It would be nice if you guys would respond. Anyway, but... You know, I'm not bitter. That's all right. You just keep ignoring me. But just remember this when you come looking for an endorsement, because I will remember. I'm not bitter at all.
Hey, somebody's going to go after you for coercion there, buddy.
Yeah. At least I don't live in Travis County. They have no jurisdiction over me. Ha! Anyway, we're going to talk about ISIS next segment. Yes, I know.
Ron's over there waving his hand saying,
you guys are bad guys. Stop. All right. Well, hey, we'll catch you next segment. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers, Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinate Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 8 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinateThoughts.com by following the Caffeinate Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stouffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by M&A Moving and Hauling Providence, Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st and enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. And speaking of coffee, mine is out and it's very sad. I don't know how I'll get through this segment.
Well, I don't know why you didn't fill it up during the break.
I needed some of that Johnny Fever coffee and I was too...
And there's some left, too. I left you some.
I was too busy preparing for this third segment for you, the listeners, the sacrifices I make. Anyway.
Hey, Ron, you need to cue the violin music. Oh, man.
Oh, so we left off last segment stretching out our conversation about, because I talked about Bruce Braley a little bit more than I really want to. So now on to ISIS, another favorite topic of ours of late.
Yeah.
So what's going on with ISIS, Brian?
Well, you know, the president kind of has himself in a corner here. And this is one of those times when I actually have some sympathy for him. But, you know, last year he made the mistake of saying, you know, there's a red line that we can't, you know, let Syria cross. You know, if they do, there's going to be consequences. Well, of course, there weren't any.
Sure.
And so now we've got ISIS.
No, they were talking about strategic pinpoint airstrikes that would really do nothing. I can't remember exact language they talked about. But, it's not going to hardly hurt anybody. That's what we're going to do. That's going to be our form of accountability. Kind of reminds me of, you remember Gaddafi back in the 80s? This is the line of death. And we cross it. No, this is the line of death.
Yeah.
And cross it. No, this is the line of death. I think President Obama, this is my red line that keeps on moving.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we wonder why people don't take him seriously. But
well, anyway, he's in a bit of a corner now because, you know, he's got ISIS, who everybody hates.
Yes.
Fighting against Syria, who we also, you know, have a big problem with. And, you know, they're demanding that if we do any airstrikes over there at all, that we get their permission first. I mean, the whole thing, we have no friend over there. All we have is a lot of enemies. And, it, you know, to be fair to the president, this is a really nasty situation that not all of it, you know, can I lay at his feet.
Exactly. And there's this interesting interview this particular clip we're going to play is from Canadian television. There was the same gentleman, David Garstein Ross, and probably David, excuse me. He's with the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He had some interesting comments on ISIS. He was also interviewed on Fox News. We weren't able to get that clip, but here we could play this. He made some similar statements.
Joining me now from our Washington studio is David Garstein Ross. He's a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and adjunct assistant professor at Georgetown University Center for Security Studies. Thank you for coming on, David. How difficult a task is it to isolate and destroy IS? We heard what Chuck Hagel had to say.
Destroying IS is a very hard row to hoe. Now, there are other things, though, that make combating IS a little bit easier. It's an organization with a great deal of vulnerabilities. It's betrayed basically everybody who's trusted them. It's surrounded by enemies, including by the Iraqi military, the Kurds, Iran, the United States, Assad's regime, tribes, and also other insurgents who are now fighting against it. It's also caused its own members to commit a great deal of brutality, something which is probably causing some fissures within the organization. So rather than thinking of this as a mission to destroy IS, which suggests a very heavy hand, I think what we should try to do is stop their momentum, reverse it, and bring these vulnerabilities to the forefront.
That being said, though, David, it also seems to be able to recruit new members to its cause, and we saw that with the release of that horrific video of James Foley's execution. It clearly was a public relations exercise by IS to try and draw more followers.
Yeah, it's been able to recruit people to its cause, absolutely. IS knows social media very well, at least how to use social media. In the past, when militant organizations have, like IS, used a great deal of brutality, that's actually, in the longer term, played against them. I would actually draw an analogy to a previous incarnation of IS, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, under Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, which in the 2005 to 07 period was thought by many to have also eclipsed Al-Qaeda, the parent organization. But by 2010, this organization was basically dead, in large part because of its own brutality. And IS succeeds, it exceeds Al-Qaeda in Iraq in terms of the territory it holds, the money it controls, but it also succeeds in terms of the raw brutality. And while that's drawing people to the cause now, while it has momentum, in the longer term, it could actually prove to be a deterrent and really an Achilles heel.
Okay, we have less than a minute, David, but someone is...
And yeah, I just want to stop there. Basically, what's fascinating to me is how extreme IS is and that Al-Qaeda has rejected them.
How bad do you have to be?
Exactly. I wish we were able to play the Fox News clip because he said made a statement that Al-Qaeda was trying to rebrand itself after that guy in Iraq, who was so extreme that they was hurting the Al-Qaeda brand.
Yeah, Bin Laden was concerned with the guy.
How bad do you have to be to hurt the Al-Qaeda brand? I mean, in the mind of a jihadist. And so they were trying to rebrand Al-Qaeda to be the rational choice for jihadists. Okay. Fascinating. So ISIS is...
Wait a minute. We got to stop and consider that for a moment. Okay?
Rational...
We're the more reasonable we're the more moderate bomb throwers.
We're the kinder, gentler jihadist. So we only behead people on every other week.
Maybe we shoot them rather than behead them.
Yes.
Or maybe our IEDs.
We don't film it as much.
Yeah. Our IEDs are set up slightly differently so that they kill you more humanely.
Anyway, that's just how bad ISIS is, or IS or IL or whatever they're calling themselves this week. This is a bad group. So bad that Al-Qaeda didn't even want them. So President Obama is certainly in a tough spot. I support the airstrikes in Iraq, which I know is going to blow some of my liberty friends' minds. But somebody needed to jump in and stop the genocide that was going on and give these folks a chance to escape. So I appreciate kudos to President Obama for finally, you know, doing something in that regard, even though something should have been done a lot sooner.
The thing about terrorism is at least the way it's manifesting itself now, there's a pretty strong likelihood that you're going to fight them someplace. And the question is, are we going to fight them abroad or are we going to fight them at home?
And maybe President Obama would be more engaged in this if they actually attacked him on the golf course.
That's brutal, buddy.
How's that for a segue?
That's brutal.
This is how bad things are for President Obama. When Maureen Dowd in New York Times, you know, comes out with this, I don't generally appreciate her writing, but I have to. I'm just going to read the four score and even 7 trillion rounds ago, or four caddies brought forth on this continent a new playground conceived by Robert Trent Jones and dedicated to the proposition that all men created equal when it comes to spending as much time on the links as possible, even when it seems totally inappropriate, like moments after a solemn statement condemning the grisly murder of a 40-year-old American journalist beheaded by ISIL. I'm glad she said murder. I hate when they say execution. That was not an execution. That was slaughter. That was that was murder. That was execution makes it sound like it's state sanctioned. Insane. But you know, things are bad for President Obama when liberals are starting to turn on him. If for nothing else, other than the optics of the situation, that he looks. Well, he looks disconnected because he is disconnected, folks.
Yeah, yeah, there's an awful lot of folks out there on both sides right now that are saying this guy's detached, he's aloof, he's disconnected, what's going on?
You know, he won his reelection. What does he need to worry about governing now? What if, you know, seriously, I mean, he's like, all right, I'm done. And you know what? I don't even think he cares if his party loses their midterm, which, hey, that's fine with me.
Yeah. I'm not sure I buy that, buddy, but he does at the moment. He just really seems like he's, you know, he's folded up his tent.
Yeah. Hey, go ahead. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'd like to invite you to our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on Saturday, September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. It starts at 8 a.m. and you can register at CaffeinatedThoughts.com by following the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
We've got a great list of speakers, including Eric Gorenson, Dr. Bob Stoffer, State Senator Jack Whitfer, Jennifer Bowen, Dr. Sam Clovis, and Dr. E. Calvin Beisner.
This conference is sponsored by M&A Movement and Hauling in Providence, Industrial Electronics Repair, and Nurse Force.
Hi, this is Brian Myers at Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. By now, I'm sure you've heard about the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing on September 20th in Des Moines. I want to also invite you to attend Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church in Johnston, Iowa, the following day, where Dr. James Wanless of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation will be lecturing after the morning worship service. Reverend Michael Erickson will be preaching on a Christian worldview. So come at 9:30 the morning of September 21st. And enjoy a great time of worship, preaching, and instruction at Trinity Presbyterian Reformed Church, meeting at the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. That's the Johnston Lions Club, 6401 Merle Hay Road in Johnston. See you there.
Welcome back. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call Adam or Brian at 515-491-6348, and they'll send you a couple guys. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with Shane Vanderhart and Brian Myers. This is our last segment. One story we didn't get a touch on that we just have to mention.
Can't let this one go.
No, we can't.
Yeah, this is our old friend Lois Lerner, indirectly anyway. The Department of Justice is apparently admitting that the allegedly lost emails likely exist in a backup computer someplace.
Shocking. Yeah, I'm glad you said indirectly, because it's not like we learned anything new from Lois Lerner herself.
No, unless she's done another, you know, pleading of the fifth that we didn't know about.
Which is her constitutional right to do, but hey. Yeah, so shocker of shockers, the federal government actually did something right, and they're, you know, because you really do want the feds backing up their systems, because can you imagine?
Oh no, especially with the IRS.
Yeah, well, actually, let's think about that.
Well, look, dude, if they've got all your documentation there, and then they lose it all, and then the burden is on you.
Provided they lose everything. And for everyone, yeah. That
whatever.
No, this could go good places. Maybe. I just think, you know.
Look, nothing good ever happens out of deals like that. Trust me. But that's another interesting point. Is I think the IRS also, in other words, not just the Department of Justice, but also the IRS is starting to say, well, yeah, it's probably out there someplace.
But it's what they're saying is it's too hard to get to. Yeah. It's too onerous.
So that's
please don't make us work.
That's slightly different than the dog ate my homework thing we were hearing a while back.
Exactly. So anyway, tough. Get to it. Get those emails.
Oh, boy.
The American public deserved to know who knew what and who ordered what and who did what.
Yeah, we're going to find all that out probably after Mr. Obama is long gone.
I would imagine.
Well, last but not least, we are having a conference.
No.
Yes, indeed, we are. September 20th at the Airport Holiday Inn in Des Moines, starting at 9 o'clock.
Exactly. Yeah, and that is a time change. We were going to start at 8 o'clock, but we decided because we treasure your sleep.
Yeah, Shane wanted to sleep in. That was really what it boiled down to.
So, you know, we bumped it back an hour. It's not going to end much later. It was originally, we're looking at about 4:30-ish. It's going to be now 5 o'clock. Yeah. So it's
9 to 5, and trust me, it'll be worth it. Everybody that attends is going to learn something.
Great. And if you were listening, of course you're listening to this. You wouldn't be hearing my voice. Go to caffeinatedthoughts.com right now. Click the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link up at the top and register. Because right now you get a discounted ticket. You're going to pay more if you pay at the door. $7 more if you pay at the door. Right now it's $25 per ticket. If you order online, if you pay at the door, it's $32.
So. And you will get a lunch out of this deal,
yes,
too.
Yes, we will feed you and provide you refreshments. And great speakers like E. Calvin Beisner, who's going to talk about the green agenda and the greening of the gospel.
Some guy by the name of Vanderhart might be talking on educational issues.
Yeah, probably Common Core would be a good assumption. Eric Goranson, he'll be discussing education savings account and other school choice measures in Iowa. Jennifer Bowen with Iowa Right to Life will be talking about how we can be better pro-life activists, as well as just some of the updates on what's been going on in the whole webcam abortion front.
Jack Whitford will be there.
Discussing state budget, so looking forward to that. Steve Lonergan with American Principles Project and former U.S. Senate candidate in New Jersey will be discussing monetary policy. He launched the new effort called Fix the Dollar, so we'll be hearing from him as well.
And Dr. Sam Clovis will be there.
Yes, and he will be speaking. I'm not entirely sure exactly what he'll be speaking on. I have
whatever it is, buddy.
It'll probably be something to do with the Constitution, I would imagine.
No doubt.
So we probably need to ask him exactly what he's going to be speaking.
It doesn't matter. He's going to bring the house down.
Yes, we're looking forward to that. So anyway, again, that's September 20th. Go to caffeinatedthoughts.com. Click on the Caffeinated Thoughts briefing link.
Quote of the day is from Jim Elliot, the famous Christian missionary who gave his life. He said, "Wherever you are, be all there."
Amen.
And that was the way he approached life. Whatever you do, be all in.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. See you next week.
Take care.